Blog Talk Radio.
This one is two songs by Miriam Mama Makeba. The first one is called Kilimanjaro. So I'll play the first one on the Ohadi, which is this beautiful Kasapu, and then we move on to the second one where we have the rhythm section for Mama
Makeba. This is a song, right? From Africa?
Yeah.
Mama, 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 mama
Shabaka's Black Experience Enhanced this evening for our special episode. The air date of this episode is November 19th, 2021. Tonight's show has been inspired by the anchorman tonight, Ramel Understanding. In the studio with us tonight is myself, Jesse Paris, co-host, Mayor of Denver, Queen Sister Brandy, and the anchorman, Ramel Understanding. This episode is for those 18 years of age and over, and this episode is sponsored by Frontline Campaign. God versus Devil, Part 2, Knowledge of Self versus the Public Indoctrination System. The teaching of black scholars at war with the Eurocentric beast system that aims to destroy and assimilate the minds of black youth, as we stated before, and we will continue to state on this podcast right there. We're still waiting for you Biden supporters to give us a call at 516-418-5996. We know you've been hoodwinked. We know you've been bamboozled and bullshitted and had your head bumped, but we understand. So we're going to turn it over to our co-host, then we're going to greet our guest tonight, and we're going to turn it over there to Brother Che Nkrumah. Brother Che Nkrumah, good evening to you, sir. How you be?
Nkrumah, otherwise known as Jesse Paris, running for mayor of Denver in 2023, host of Frontline Black News. Make sure you check us out on YouTube and Facebook. And tonight we're going to get into an in-depth discussion about knowledge of self versus the public indoctrination center. We have to get our kids out of these public indoctrination centers. They're not doing them any good. And we have to instill them with knowledge of self.
Indeed, indeed, indeed. And also, too, ladies and gentlemen, you know, let me just say this right here before we get started this evening. As we all knew, and Kenosha, Wisconsin, Kyle Rittenhouse was acquitted. So that means that he cannot be charged for this case again, rather be on discovery of new evidence, rather it be on appeal by the state of Wisconsin. So he is scot-free. And quite naturally, of course, we all do know what his true intended targets were black people. And the judge had stipulated at the beginning of his trial that the victims were to be referred to as looters, robbers, the scum of the earth. But he went out and shot his own folks. But I'm of the personal opinion that he was out to target black people. Okay, so we're going to turn it over there to the anchorman, you know, who inspired the show tonight. Okay, anchorman, you got the floor, sir.
Yes, sir. My name is Ramel Understanding, the angel of peace from the east, understanding, understood, in the neighborhood near you, bringing a little hope without the double official frontline campaign. Salute to the fallen soldiers. I want to introduce a brother that been on the front line for a long time. His name is Melchizedek Shabazz, Supreme Allah. I just invited him to the show today to speak in regards to knowledge of self versus the public indoctrination system, because, you know, I got the knowledge of myself when I was like 15, you know, I was amongst black Hebrew Israelites. Then later when I turned 18, I became a 5%er. And it's been a glorious experience. I started off with no education, and then it inspired me to gain more education, but education where I looked through a black man's perspective, and I always kept things, you know, realistic. And I always kept the facts in mind. I always did my own research. So, you know, maybe this brother Melchizedek could shine some light on how Knowledge of Self came to the wilderness of North America and how it spread and how it basically destroys all the lies that the devil is teaching in their public indoctrination system. Go ahead, Brother Melchizedek.
Yes, sir.
Well, the supreme knowledge and understanding first came to America through Master W.D. Farad Muhammad. And Master W.D. Farad Muhammad was the one that brought the supreme wisdom, knowledge, and understanding to the New York area, not New York area, down in Detroit, excuse me, Black Bottom, Detroit. And so he was teaching down there in the most honorable Elijah Muhammad's wife, Queen Clara Muhammad. She happened to be passing by the location where he was teaching, and she heard it. And then she was so impressed, she went home and told her husband, Elijah, that there was a man down the street that he needed to go in here. And then from then on, you know, Elijah got himself together, put his khaki pants, he had $10, and he went down to the location where Master Prophet Muhammad was speaking. And he sat and heard and listened. And then after the lecture was over, he recognized that this was the one that the world has been looking for 2,000 years. So when Master Prophet Muhammad gave everybody the opportunity to come up and, you know, shake his hand and so forth, when Elijah got there, Elijah said, "I know who you are." And he told Elijah, "Well, just who that no one knows that but you. So don't teach on that until after I leave." So then after when Master Brother Muhammad taught Elijah for 3.5 years, and he also taught his wife, Queen Clara Muhammad, he taught her the MGTGCC, which is Muslims Girl General Civilization class. He taught her that in her house at her kitchen table. And then we also had Elijah's younger brother of John Muhammad. His wife was, at the time she was young, Bernstein. Bernstein was the secretary for Master Farah Muhammad, okay? And she was the type, as he speaks, be lecturing, she put all that, type all that out, what we call lesson form. And so Elijah started up. So after the 3.5 years, when Master Farah Muhammad decided to leave, he told Elijah, "I'm leaving now because you don't need me now," because he'd been teaching him for 3.5 years. And then when he left, Elijah was the last one that saw him at the airport leaving. And then Elijah started teaching that was God in person. Now, and that's the pioneer. I beg your pardon? Y'all listening?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. We're here.
Oh, okay.
Yes,
so
sir.
Now,
indeed.
So after he was, when the messenger started, Elijah started teaching that was God in person, the other pioneers got upset about that because they said, "Well, he never told us that he was God in person." And so it brought about a big dissatisfaction. So they started to try to do the messenger Elijah harm. So what he did, he left Detroit, and he started moving around the country for like 7 years. He was on the run for 7 years, not because he was afraid of anything. He was just moving around to share the knowledge and the wisdom that he had got from Master Farah Muhammad, you know, with protect that so he can share it with, you know, make it available, keep it available, and preserve it for the people. Now, when they say Master Farah Muhammad, you say that was God. Listen, God is power, force, okay? Power and force and supreme knowledge and understanding. Whoever comes forth, regardless of what shape, form, or fashion it's in, if that superior knowledge is there, if there's no one that can surpass that superior knowledge, then that individual is the God. In order to be God, you have that superior knowledge over everybody else that everybody else needs, don't have, want, got to have and can't do without. Now, as far as the supreme knowledge and understanding that Elijah taught, there's no knowledge out there to surpass that. Okay, nobody drew all leaders out there a little before that. He did an excellent job. But he never revealed that the white man was the devil. You see, the only one that can reveal and see and understand that the white man is the devil is the mind of God. If you don't have that mind of God, you'll see him as a oppressor, a slave master, a no good, or no that. But to see the Caucasian race as a race of devils, you got to have them. You have that open mind into reality of a God. You follow me? And so from then on, you all know the rest of it. So you all know the rest of it. Now, to recognize the devil as he is, you got to accept yourself as God. If you don't accept yourself as God, you'll never see the devil, and you'll never understand the devil. You understand what I'm trying to say? The only way you can see your opposite, you got to know your present self. You understand? Because self-preservation is self-law of nature, which is the knowledge of wisdom, understanding starts with your mind, in your mind, because your mind is the universe, and the universe is your mind. So there's no reason why we can, some of us have a problem dealing with the reality that the black man is God and the white man is the devil. You understand? Once you accept that mental, spiritual, mental, and physical foundation that the black man is God and the white man is the devil, now your mind opens up to all the other realities that you're going to come in contact with, okay, and your course of journey, okay, and by you having an open mind that that you are the God, you'll always have the solutions to the problem, the answer to the questions, and the solution to the problem, to open the door or solve whatever you come in contact with, as far as obstacles or stumbling blocks. You'll be able to overcome all that as long as you understand that the black man's God.
John Day. President, yeah. You were there when Malcolm was teaching, and you were all under Malcolm, correct? And it was Father Law, Abu, John the Revelator, a whole bunch of other brothers, and there was a split.
Right. And Farrakhan was there for a short period of time.
Yeah, you were there with Farrakhan also. And, I mean, what was the atmosphere like then, and how can we bring that same energy to the forefront now?
Oh, okay. Under Malcolm X now, understand, Malcolm X, under the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, was the black God in America. Could nobody touch Malcolm. He was the black God in America. It was Malcolm X that set up 46 temples, Malcolm X. Malcolm X had 46 universities, Malcolm X. Malcolm X put together the Muhammad Speaks newspaper and gave it to the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad as a gift, Malcolm X. Malcolm was the one that went to all the colleges, all those college students, Huey Newton, Bobby Shields, Angela Davis, Rap Brown,
yes,
Sookie Carmichael, the Andrew Brothers,
yes,
Andrew's brother, Sir Sharma Cahal, all of them were college students. Malcolm raised them all up with the sword of Islam. The sword of Islam is just truth. Truth and reality walks together. You got truth, you deal with reality. You got the reality, you deal with the truth. It was Malcolm that raised all of them up. You understand what I'm trying to say? Malcolm was the man. And there's nobody out there, yesterday or today, that can shine Malcolm's shoes. There's only one Malcolm.
You're right.
And that's Malcolm. Under the teaching of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Okay? He deep-rooted reality into the depths of America that the black man is God and white man is the devil. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
Now, the atmosphere there under Malcolm, most of us was jail. We just came out of prison. We jailhouse. We from all from the street. You know, hardcore street. You understand? Sing Sing, Green Haven, Dynamar, whatever institution you dealt with, the timing. So Malcolm spoke the language because he was a street man. You understand what I'm trying to say? Now, Mr. Farrakhan didn't stay around Temple Number 7 too long, because after Malcolm taught him, he sent him to Boston. So when it comes to all that street activity, Mr. Farrakhan doesn't have that experience or had that knowledge about that, because he wasn't here in New York. He was in Boston. You understand? And he stayed in Boston until he came back after Malcolm's assassination. Then that's when he came back to New York, when the messenger, when Captain Joseph asked the messenger to send him Mr. Franklin, because Mr. Franklin was a spokesman. He learned speaking down in Teachers College in North Carolina and so forth. But the whole thing is, you have everything that you need. The only thing now, you have to get into the discipline. You see, knowledge and wisdom and discipline has to be together, because you always have the destructive forces out here, which this system consistently uses these destructive forces to destroy the mind of the black man, because they know the black man is God. You understand what I'm saying? Now, what are the destructive forces? That is nothing personal, but I got to name them. The destructive forces that they use to destroy the mind of the black man is alcohol, drug, tobacco, the pork, you understand what I'm trying to say? The colon cancer, the prostate cancer, all these things come from us not having the discipline of ourselves, you understand what I'm trying to get on the proper eating diet, you understand? So we won't be caught up in all these unnecessary medical problems, you see? We have to come to the point, supreme knowledge, wisdom, understanding is a life-giving teaching. But the only way it can be a life-giving teaching and you benefit from it, you got to carry it into practice. You understand what I'm saying? See, it's not what you want to do. It's what's best for you. See, a lot of times we do what we want to do, and what we want to do don't work out because that's what we want to do. But when you do what's best for you to do, it works out because what's best for you to do is the right thing to do for yourself. You understand? You see? So once we come into the discipline of ourselves and leave all these negative forces and destructive forces alone, that's only designed to destroy your mind. You understand what I'm trying to say? And we not just utilize it to make money, but sometimes we become our best customer, and next thing, instead of us going up, we go down. You follow what I'm saying? Because prison is a business. Prison is a business. The only way these prisons can get funded from the state, you understand what I'm trying to say? They have to keep the prisons filled, keep the beds filled. Now, that's why whatever you get busted for, whatever you get jammed for, whatever your street experiences that you get arrested for, they always want to offer you a plea. They don't care about if you get a probation. They don't care if you get parole. They don't care about none of that. All they want you to put that felony on you. Once that felony is on you, then it blocks you from city, state, and federal positions. You understand? Now, then naturally, as they keep the railroad, do something. You got more innocent brothers in prison than you got brothers who committed a crime. But it's designed that way. You understand what I'm trying to say? Because the prisons is hooked up with the manufacturers where they're making the clothes, making shoes, making the garbage can, license plates, and all these kinds of things. Because wherever that prison is at, the institution is at, that's the employment for the whole county of the people in that area. You understand? So it's a vicious cycle. Now, when you get jammed, you get a felony, like I got. I got two of them. You get you're blocked from a good position, okay, as far as city, state, and federal position is concerned, right? So now, by us having a knowledge of how to live comfortably living costs for money. But being that we don't have a respectable income to allow us to live on a comfortable level like we have that desire and accustomed to living, now we have to do what? We have to establish a hustle. So what's the hustle? It could be numbers. It could be drugs. It could be pushing guns. Whatever illegal activities that take place, we're going to involve ourselves in that for one reason. Not because we want to, only because we want the money so we can continue living a comfortable life. Okay.
Yes, sir. Indeed. And then
any
also,
questions?
Too, Elder, the proof.
Go ahead.
Yeah, Yes, sir. To prove your point even further, Elder, you know, I was going through Folsom, California, which has one of the most notorious prisons in the United States. And when I had passed the prison itself, it had a great big sign up there that said Prison Industrial Complex. So when the population is making furniture, when they're making shoes, when they're making household products, because as you know, the state regulates of what they'll allow them to have access to so they don't go make weapons. And guess who's the main people who buy this stuff from them? Walmart, Ethan Allen Furniture, your major producers and retail outlets and what have you. So I definitely appreciate you, Elder, bringing out the hypocrisy of that. Then not to mention the fact that in the inner city, while we got to get our young men up out of these daggone prison indoctrination systems, is because that's where they learn gang activity, the public indoctrination center. Drugs, public indoctrination center. Want to be a pimp, public indoctrination center. Young women, you know what I'm saying, want to prostitute and whole excuse expression. Public Indoctrination Center, and I grew up in Los Angeles, California, Elder, and I had a memory of a very, very early memory when I was 2 years old where my mom and daddy took me to this place, and there was this tall man speaking wearing these glasses, and I don't know who this brother was, okay? Only thing I knew that the man was angry. And the date is May 2nd, 1962, after the Los Angeles Police Department had killed Ronald Stokes. And I asked my mama many years later, before her passing, I said, well, mama, I got this memory of this, that, day, the other, what I described. And I said, who was that? She said, that was Malcolm X. My mouth fell over. So that might have planted a seed in me. And like I said, for all you chicken-pecking Uncle Toms out there and your coons and your congressional black caucus who's selling us down the friggin' toilet every day, you're welcome to call in once again, 516-418-5996. We ain't going to talk about you bad. You're going to get educated right here. It's because this podcast, Elder, was inspired by the 50th anniversary of the Black Panther Party there in Oakland, California.
Beautiful.
The funny part about it is, reading Dr. Newton's memoirs, he used to see Malcolm speak at the University of California at Berkeley. Now, the current vice president, Kamala Harris, was born in Alameda County. She used to be a prosecutor in Alameda County. Then she went over there across the bay, over there to Boys Town. Yeah, I said Boys Town, okay, where she was the district attorney, and she did not prosecute not one of them murdering so-and-sos that put 25 bullets in Mario Wood. But the brain-dead Negroes, the Yassabosses, Uncle Tim Scott Coons, Clyburn, other brain-dead Negro that had over there, well, America is not a racist country. Yeah, Kamala didn't do nothing to protect the lives of black men who were murdered by the police, not only in San Francisco as the district attorney, but she didn't do nothing to prosecute the ones that murdered Ezell Ford down there in Los Angeles, which I'm of the opinion is nothing more than a terrorist organization. And read Christopher Doone's memoirs. He'll tell you about it. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So as the Attorney General of the state of California, she could have picked that case up. You know what I'm saying? And Brother Chase, he's a scholar of law. I've only had a few courses in it myself, but I know that, you see. Also, too, Silicon Game Valley and its, how should we say, rainbow alphabetized agenda. You see what I mean? Wants to sit up there and block everything that you do. Now, there was an initiative circulated in California, Elder, to limit of how them clowns over there at Google, Facebook, the Tweety Bird, you see, will not have access to your personal information. Because every time I turn on my cell phone, all I'm seeing up here is a bunch of garbage that I'm not interested in. Who held it up that it couldn't get on a ballot for the people to vote on? Kamala Harris. You know what I'm saying? Then you have those of our folks who want to venture out there to a cesspool called Hollywood, California, and General Ramel and Brother Chaz familiar with my salutation of always what I say to them, but as you stated, Elder, that we're cleaning up our language a little bit right here. But I must say this here, Elder, to the head of Paramount Pictures at 5555 West Melrose Avenue, to the heads of Warner Brothers, to the heads of Universal Studios, and you all were the granddaddy of them all, of making movies. Also, to the Screen Actors Guild, the Screen Directors Guild, to the Motion Picture Academy of Arts and Sciences, from the bottom of our hearts, we mean these two words. The first word starts with the letter F, and the second word starts with the letter Y. Connect the dots.
Yes, sir.
Because
from the bottom of my heart.
You are not going to sit up there and degrade the great glory of where our people come from. You're not going to sit up there and force some alphabetized agenda on us and having our men going up there wearing women's dresses.
Damn.
So to our ancestors.
Right.
And
right.
I will take this
That's
podcast,
the wrong education.
I will put it down there on the corner of Hollywood Boulevard and Highland Avenue in front of the Academy Awards, the night of the Academy Awards, and we'll tell them the same damn thing. But however, though, we got to go get our permits from the city of Los Angeles to keep the lap dogs up off of us.
Right. Yeah. Right. Well,
I call
that reality.
Oh, indeed.
That's reality.
Oh, indeed. Indeed.
That's reality.
And any one of you chicken pecking Uncle Tom from the Coon Gresno Black Caucus, to quote Brother Chad, and all you Biden supporters, you're welcome to call in at 516-418-5996. Press 1. We will put you on air. But we ain't tolerating no Yassa bosses.
Tolerating
no coons. And we are not tolerating no disrespect to this platform.
Right. So indeed.
Please continue, gentlemen. Please continue.
So indeed. You know, Melchizedek, I want to tell you on the air, happy belated Born Day. You know, I know you just turned 86, man. You've been here for a long time, brother, a seasoned veteran for real.
Wow.
And I know you got a lot. That's why I brought you on the show, God, because I know you got a lot to, you know, drop on the people, man, and a lot of light to shine. So, you know, we're the new black media. We're the new face of the new black media, and we're trying to do our thing to inform, you know, to take the devil's head, you know, to take the devil off the plane, off the people's minds, and to fill their that void in their brain with something that's informative and productive. And that's what we're trying to do with this here platform.
Right.
You know, we're revolutionary, but we're revolutionary in the sense that we're trying to bring a change. We ain't doing nothing stupid, Melchizedek.
Right.
We ain't telling people to do nothing stupid. We're telling people to do things the right way and use the right methods. You know what I mean? That's what we're trying to do. Like we have Brother Che Paris, who's running for Mayor Denver.
Beautiful.
And he's on the line right now. And most of the people who are associated with us average 15,000 votes. The last time Che ran for city council, he got 15,000 votes. My uncle Sekou, who's one of the original Black Panther soldiers, he just ran for U.S. Senate, and he got like 12,000 votes. And then we have other associates too that average 15,000 votes also. So we're trying to do our thing. And you know, I want to allow the other members of the Frontline Campaign to ask any questions or to give any feedback, such as Brother Paris or Sister Brandy, if you could, please.
Yeah.
Oh, did they see the documentary? The documentary on Malcolm X and Muhammad Ali, Blood Brothers, on Netflix? If you haven't, check out
Elder,
the...
If I may interrupt for 1 second, Elder.
Go ahead.
Okay,
go ahead.
Yeah, if I just may say, Elder, glad you brought up Muhammad Ali. Okay, it's because I remember as a child, I was in the fifth or sixth grade, and I was on my way to school, right? And on the AM Los Angeles show, they had this brother on there who was talking a lot of stuff. And I asked my mother, I said, who is that? She says, that's Muhammad Ali. He is the heavyweight champ. So as I got older, I started doing research, and I saw the clips of where he refused the induction into the war in Vietnam. I also had saw the excellence of his craft and art of boxing. And he was a bad man, you know what I mean? And I do remember, too, Elder, that in his heyday, particularly when he regained the heavyweight crown from George Foreman, that he was the most recognized figure on the planet. He fought all over the world. And it's just the magnetism that this man had of, you know, where he would – go and people were just stopping dead traffic, man, and stop and talk to him, you know, just to get his autograph. And he had signed, you know, all their autographs, you know, no matter how long it took him and what have you. And he was the greatest heavyweight champion of all time. And one thing I really did appreciate about Mr. Ali and his public image, he always kept a clean image. You see what I mean?
Yeah.
When he was out in the public. And one thing about him, you always saw him with a sister.
Right.
Always saw him with a sister on his arm.
And he was taught Malcolm X. He was taught by Malcolm X. It was Malcolm X that took him around the world and introduced him to all the world leaders. Him and Malcolm X deep-rooted the teachings of the most honorable Elijah Muhammad in the world, that the black man is God and the white man is the devil. That's deep rooted.
Yes, sir.
Muhammad Ali used to get on talk shows and upheld the respect and the intelligence of the black man. He did an excellent job.
Yes, sir, he did.
The Netflix on Netflix, the relationship between Malcolm X and Muhammad Ali. The name of the program is Blood Brothers on Netflix. Check that out. And that program, that documentary, is being shown in 190 countries in different languages. Seven days a week, 24 hours a day for the next 5 or 10 years. Malcolm X, Muhammad Ali, the name is Blood Brothers on Netflix.
Yes, sir.
That's one of your projects, correct, Melchizedek?
Yeah, that's heavy. It's a heavy thing. Yeah, and the most analyzed. Now the two main characters on that documentary is the most honorable Elijah Muhammad, Malcolm X, Muhammad Ali, and Melchizedek Supreme Shabazz Alaw. You'll see it.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes,
okay.
And then also too, I wanted to make a special note. Is that it was Malcolm X that inspired Dr. Huey Percy Newton of what he did in 1966 is because Dr. Newton used to see Minister Malcolm speak at UC Berkeley.
That's true.
And then
that's
on
true.
Top of it,
that's
too, is
Bobby
that
Seale too.
Bobby Seale, yes, sir, and Bobby Seale and Huey P. Newton, as you know, they put together the 10-point program of the Black Panther Party. And then the first chapter out of my research to expand out of Oakland, California, was the office in Los Angeles in which Mr. Geronimo Pratt was the chairman of that office. And, of course, as we know, that Fred Hampton was the chairman of the office in Chicago.
Chicago.
And Mr. Pratt was a war veteran in Vietnam. And then, of course, as you know, is that Mr. Pratt was framed for a murder in Santa Monica, California in 1968. And he was in prison falsely for over 30 years of his life. You're also aware of the fact that there was a young black attorney out of Los Angeles who stood on his case from beginning to end, and the same attorney represented it, the Eula Love family, who was murdered by the Los Angeles Police Department in front of her children. Also, too, the same attorney is the one who defended O.J. Simpson, who made the infamous line, "If you if it does not fit, you must acquit." And then, from what I understand, that Mr. Cochran was in the process of putting together a lawsuit or a package together to get reparations from the United States from labor and sweat and brutalization on the plantation system right here. And this is why this platform has created the hashtag Resurrection of the Mental Dead. Also, too, Brother Paris has created the hashtag Tangibles 2021 in the amount of $100 trillion, and we are owed this is because without the brutalization, our sweat, and our blood, the United States would not be the economical powerhouse that it is, although it's starting to crumble and tumble. And this is why, me personally, I despise all ass scratchers, Yasser bosses, coons, Tim Scott, and as Brother Che always has to remind me, what's her name? I think I got it right. Kimberly Daniels, Brother Che, the one who said that she thanks God for slavery because if it wasn't for slavery, she would be over there in Africa worshiping a tree. Now, I'm of the opinion is that a tree should be worshipped is because the tree kicks out oxygen. So therefore, for all you twisted-minded individuals by the name of Bezos, Musk, Zuckerberg, and what have you, go take your alphabetized agenda, go with Bezos and Musk up in one of those rockets and do humanity a favor and fly a straight path directly to the sun and blow your asses up. That is the virus.
Listen,
please continue, Elder.
Yeah, Malik Zulu Jabbar. The Panthers is on the rise again. Cause Malik Zulu, he's going all over the country, recruiting the Panther Party.
No, yes, sir. Indeed.
Yeah, so
it's
the Panthers
time to bring them back.
Yeah, they're coming back. He's all over the country organizing the young into the Black Panther Party.
Oh, yes, sir. And then also, too, Elder, if I may say, and then I'm going to turn it back over to you, Elder, because two cases that recently is in national news now, the Wittenhouse clown there in Wisconsin who got acquitted, and we all knew that. And then also, too, the case that's happening in Georgia in the murder of Ahmaud Arbery. Do let me say this here. Al Sharpton and Jesse Jackson, will you gentlemen please do the Black community a favor and go get AIDS, go get vaccinated, go get COVID, and please kill yourselves? Now, Jesse Jackson, I remember seeing you in Los Angeles, August of 1972 at the Wattstax concert at the L.A. Coliseum, and you had on your dashiki, red, black, and green, and man, was you putting on a good act. And now you are sitting up here scratching your ass with donuts and grinning when nothing is funny. Al Sharpton, you a joke too, Trick. Go suck on your banana and go take your alphabetized agenda someplace else. It's because you ass scratchers are a detriment to us as Black men, and therefore you are a detriment to us on our family unit. You are a detriment to us in our rightful place in society and in the history of this planet. And I'm Sabaka Sankore, and I approve of the message.
This was brought to you by frontlinecampaign.org. Hurry up and get Man Up 24/7 by Melvin Standard in stores near you in Denver, Colorado.
Yes, sir. Melchizedek, so in all the years, you see, I don't know if you noticed, Melchizedek, but things are on the on the down slope right now, as far as economically, mentally, physically, you know, in all realms, right? Mm-hmm. But so how can we take things and kind of like reverse the polarity and rise again as a people? How do you think we're going to rise again to our original place?
The reason why it's on what you would call the down low is because all the Negroes that got over on the millionaire and billionaire level, they became white and forgot they and turned their back on the blacks. You have enough black millionaires and billionaires out there that can revitalize and rebuild all the inner city, all the communities in the different inner cities. Okay.
Yes, sir.
Supply the see they like if you check out some of my interviews I do on YouTube, I teach all you rich people like the Jay-Z's and the Kanye West and all the rich movie stars, ball players, religious leaders, musical leaders, and so forth. Those who got the money. Go back in the community that you came out of and supply the community what it needs, which is affordable houses, daycare centers, educational centers, restaurants, supermarkets, and so forth. But what they did, they sold. Most of those rich entertainers and the rich entertainers, music in the musical world, sport, what do you mean that? The movie world, the sports world, the musical world, and the religious world. The reason why they don't go back in the communities that they came out of and reap communities with everything that the community needs is because they sold their soul and they hold. You understand what I'm trying to say? They're a bunch of alcoholics, drug addicts, homosexuals, sold their soul and they hold to who? For 30 pieces of gold to the Illuminati, and they allow themselves to become a bunch of Illuminati faggots.
Mm. Yes, sir. That sounds like Hollywood. You just described Hollywood, Elder.
Yeah.
He likes the devil because the devil gives him nothing. And nothing is corruption and vanity and things that mean nothing. You know what I mean? And
yep.
I'm just wondering to myself, like, man, how can we awake the people again, man, and you know, resurrect the mentally dead? You know what I mean? You know, what can we do?
The only way you'll get the attention of the people today, you have to set up an economical program. You have to show them something. They've been played on so much. You understand what I'm trying to say? Played on so much that now to the point they want to see what's being done. You understand what I'm saying? They want to see what's being done. And you see, the best movie to watch is The Godfather, okay? The Godfather. Because
why do you say that?
Because they know how to, let me put this now, come on air. They know how to get the money from those who got it.
Right.
Okay. And what they do with the money, they do what? They build up their community. You understand what I'm saying? They establish all these different economical programs that create jobs for everybody. They put the restaurants, the hotels, the Catholic cathedral, the churches, the Catholic schools, and so forth. They build up constructive programs that the people can see, and that's why they have regardless of how they do it, they still get respect from the people. Then they take it to another level. Now they're on Wall Street. They got all these here catering, gambling casinos, all these hotels, and you know, and different things like summer resorts and all that kind of stuff. When you don't have money, sometimes you have to take it.
Yeah, that's pretty much what they did, you know. And then also, I'm like about 125 miles from Las Vegas myself right now. And I've been going in and out of Las Vegas about since I was a kid, about for the last 50 years. And every time I go through there, Elder, I don't recognize them, man, because they keep building up so much. And one thing about the city of Las Vegas, this is where Muhammad Ali had smashed a coon, a tom, one who he called the Rabbit, A1 Floyd Patterson. And I'm very glad that he beat Floyd Patterson and humiliated Floyd Patterson for this one simple reason. When that Negro got up there on the news that I saw in a film clip from 1965, and he says that I'm taking a title from Cassius Clay for the American people, say, man, you deserve to get your ass whipped. Okay?
Yeah, he beat
him. To make an insult like that. And then also, too, I'm very glad that Muhammad Ali had beat the living dog crap out of a coon and an Uncle Tom that Ali used to refer to as the octopus by the name of Ernie Terrell. The infamous, what's my name? And it's very, very sad to see a Negro hate himself to go for this garbage like Amos and Andy, Rochester, Mantan Moreland. Oh, yes, that was Big Daddy. And all that old kind of crap. But in Hollywood, the ones that who I respected the most was a brother by the name of Elder Mashore, Paul Robeson, Ozzie Davis, Ruby D, and, of course, Miss Cicely Tyson, and ultimately, of course, the one and only Miss Eartha Kitt and Miss Nina Simone.
Nina Simone was black conscious. She was black conscious all the way. Nina Simone.
Oh, yes, sir. Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
General,
and then
General, my question to you is, do we have any callers on there? Any new callers? Or?
No, it's
Okay. And do we still have Sister Brandy on the line?
Yes.
Okay.
Let's hear from
Sister
Brandy. Give her a shout out. Let's hear from Sister Brandy. I like to hear what she has to say.
Revolutionary agenda.
Huh?
Yeah, she's coming on. Sister Brandy.
Okay.
Okay, can you hear me? I'm in the studio. Sorry, gentlemen, I got a hard condition. I'm trying to keep myself warm. I watched the movie Blood Brothers. I'm familiar with what's going on with that. That was a good movie. It's a little documentary. I encourage everybody to watch it. Melchizedek, you said a lot of great jewels in that movie as well. I'm glad you had a chance to participate in the documentary. And knowledge itself is actually very, 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 very crucial right now in the time that we're heading in. We are heading in a what I like to call the new wave, the new phase, the new black phase. You can feel it in the vibration. You can feel it in the air. Things are changing, and we're making those things change. We're making these changes happen as black people. We're making it happen because we can't rely on the government and white people or even supremacist devil mechanisms to promote good things for us, that promote peace, to promote anything decent, because they don't have that on their agenda. They don't have a plan for us. They won't cut a check. They won't give FDA, ADOS reparations. They won't stop killing black men. They won't stop locking up black men. They won't stop trying to decentralize black men. They won't stop. And we have to stop them. We have to find a way to do it, and it's not necessarily unification. You know, when I was thinking about segregation and integration, and I didn't have a problem with segregation as now. Now, you know, even now, we're in 2021, and my mind is like, man, sometimes you just need to separate from these people that don't have our best minds, our best interests at heart. It's sad to say that, but it's a necessary thing that people don't think about. They don't think about, like, you know, with our other sister, for example, they don't think about letting your kids go to school with COVID and sitting next to children who don't have it and telling them 3 days later that their kid was sitting next to someone with COVID. You know what I mean? And that kid could take that virus home, spread it to their family, their grandchildren, or the grandparents, especially just causing the whole uproar of COVID in households that never had that happen. You know, they want to vaccinate small children. You know, Biden, he just had a speech about this buyback plan. It was millions and trillions of dollars, and during one of the speeches, he said, "We have to and the white right people." And I'm like, yeah, you forgot black people. You forgot black people again. Or, I'm sorry, you didn't forget. They just weren't on your list of things to, you know, provide tangibles for. You know, Rittenhouse gets acquitted. You know why he was there. Or, I'm sorry, he's found not guilty. We know why he was there, what his real intentions were. And then you got the uncle of, this is Jacob Blake's uncle there, and he's telling the truth. He's telling the truth. You know what I mean? And that right there is just, it's like, well, this is the kind of world we live in, and power is taken, not given. Righteousness is there. If you're willing to learn about self, you're willing to take what is your true knowledge and go with it, then that's where we should be. Shouldn't listen to let these public indoctrination schools that they've been having since I'm 41. Pretty much my whole life has denied me what I should have known that I'm now learning as a grown woman. I feel denied. I feel deprived. I grew up in the system, and I didn't grow up with all the good teachers. I didn't even have nurturing teachers. So I wouldn't know what a lot of these things that, you know, we deprive our children from, you know, that the school deprives us from, is simple. It's love, it's nurturing, it's a proper education, it's knowledge, it's self-confidence, it's raising your self-esteem, it's here's a book, here's stay out of the street, you know, there's rules, things that we should provide our children with instead of thinking that we can't give them a life and that these schools are their babysitters. The television is their babysitter. You know what I mean? And it's not us. It's not us. And so we have to say, well, fuck it, man. The world is changing. We need to learn more entrepreneurship. We need to learn, you know, how to take care of self and find a way to co-op and save our money and put our money back into black-owned businesses. Whether it's an inconvenience or not, whether you like the brother or sister or not, we should. We keep the money revolving that way because we have consumer power. We don't have to spend a goddamn cent with these people. We only do it out of convenience. We don't have to. We can build our own shit. If we built this city, if we built this country, what's to mean we can't burn the shit down and build back something else for us? All we're in is fucking white people debt. That's all this is. Revolving door of generations of white people debt, promises to borrow from so-and-so to pay back in years and years to come. And we're stuck there with debt that these politicians have created for us over generations and generations. And it sucks. And I don't want to participate no more. I don't think that it's something that behooves me. And I'm tired of asking anybody for anything. I'm just going to tell them. If they don't understand that, well, I guess they'll just have to see it when I take it. And that's how I feel about it. It's sad to say that a peaceful nation has to get more aggressive in order to get what they want. But that is terrible. That is where I leave you. Carry on, gentlemen. Thank you for having me.
Yes, sir, indeed. Thank you for being with us. And now also, too, Elder, you know, I want to bring up something that came across my desk in the last 36 hours. Okay, out of New York State, Norman 3X Butler and Talmadge Hayer have been exonerated in the murder of Malcolm X. And these men had spent like over 22 years, no, I'm sorry, a combined of 42 years in prison, I'm sorry. And could you shed some light on that, Elder?
Okay, those two brothers, Thomas 15X and Norman 3X, they wasn't even there. They wasn't there.
Wow.
Because all the FOIs, we all was FOIs. So if I'm an FOI and you're FOI, those that was with Malcolm was with Malcolm. They if you came there, they would know if you was with Yusuf, Captain Joseph or not. You understand what I'm saying? They was not there.
Right.
If they was told, if they didn't go along with this setup, that their families would be wiped out, okay? Now, and later up the road, Hale, the one who was involved with the shooting, he admitted that they were not there, and he had named all the other ones, the other five that were there. You understand? So, but they, but
yes,
it was like a CIA thing. Now that day of the assassination, there was no uniformed policeman around. In other words, by Malcolm having all that under surveillance and everything, they never gave him no type of security because of the fact of his program, what he was about. You understand what I'm saying? And then now this other one, Gene Roberts. I couldn't understand why all of a sudden Malcolm took. But you got to remember, it got to the point Malcolm was running so much and people, you know, looking for him, gunning for him and everything. He couldn't go see his family. He was broke. He was mentally drained. You know, when you get in a situation like that, things coming at you from all over, north, west, east, and south, things is coming at you, and you're broke. You're away from your family. You can't do nothing for your family. You know, he got mentally drained, actually mentally drained, okay?
Yes,
and that was the first time that Malcolm at any time insisted. He insisted no search procedure. He insisted no search procedure. That was an error. But by being drained and, you know, stressed out and, you know, He really lost control of himself and the situation. It was so much pressure on him, not sleeping, not eating. You understand what I'm trying to say?
Right.
And everybody against him. You know, even the brother that he trained is seeking to take his life. You follow what I'm trying to say? But Butler and Thomas was not there at all. Now, Thomas died in 2009. He passed away. So now Butler's the one that's named Aziz now. He's like 83 years old. Okay. He's exonerated. Okay. But now the question is, are they going to reimburse him for those 28 years?
Yeah.
You understand? He was innocent. So then the state owes him a financial retribution.
Yes,
20
sir.
Years. Now, are they going to do that?
Imprisonment. Yes, sir.
He's entitled to be compensated for the 28 years that he served for a crime that he did not do, and everybody knew that. But see, at the time, J. Edgar Hoover was one that orchestrated the whole thing. You understand what I'm trying to say? But they had to have black brothers, so-called brothers, do that. Because they couldn't take a chance on having a white boy doing that. You follow me?
Yes,
And those brothers came out of the was affiliated with the mosque in New Jersey. They was affiliated with the temple in New Jersey. You understand? But So they had, and you always, like I said on that documentary, you always, it's a shame that we always can find a low-life nigger that will sell out his mother for $2.
Right.
It's a,
yeah.
It's a shame.
Yeah.
Like you call them the coons. Yeah. And, the, and you're right.
Yes, sir.
Head, what, you sell out your mother for $2?
Yeah.
That's a low-life. And you got
yeah.
the, you
yeah.
got some of them low-lifes still crawling around, blocking situations that could that this program go to another level. You understand what I'm trying to say?
Yes, sir.
There's always, and they look like you and I.
Mm-hmm.
They
yeah.
black power. They say right onto mm-hmm. the people. Yeah. They got Sly Salam Alaikum, cold blooded CIA
mm-hmm.
man.
Yeah, yes, sir. And then also too, Elder,
hold on,
to prove your point even.
I had a question for Kizadik. So if it wasn't these two brothers, then who killed Malcolm? Was it the CIA? Was it the FBI? Was it COINTELPRO? Was it a combination of the three? Who killed our brother Malcolm?
Yeah. Well, CIA, CIA or informant. An informant is under the heading of a CIA, but don't always have to be registered as a CIA. An informant is just a paid, a $2 used Negro to turn against his own people.
Right.
Like the brother called
exactly.
coons, yeah. You know what I'm saying? And just like saying in the drug game, like you can get set up by an informant. They call John Doe. But you'll never
yeah.
know who set you up unless you go to trial. You understand?
Right.
And then when you go to trial, sometimes you'll find out that was your main man. Because you're one that was close. See, one that's close to you can really get to you if they turn
in.
On you. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
One
yes,
that's close
that
to you,
to the Black Panthers
if they
too.
Turn
yes,
on
sir.
You, can set you up.
Yes, sir.
And sometimes
like
you
Chairman Fred Hampton.
Huh?
Just like with Chairman Fred Hampton in Chicago in 1969. It's
no,
because of
with,
research
and
that
with,
I did.
And with the Panthers. The Panthers was ill portrayed from the inside.
Yes,
you can't listen. Nobody can get on the inside to destroy a program or affect a program but one on the inside.
Right.
You gotta be on the inside to be able to do damage to a program. You gotta be on the inside. You can't
right.
if you're on the outside. Let me put it this way. The white man cannot get on the inside. He has to come on
right.
the inside through a black man.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
A black man on the inside gotta give him all the information. Give all the information to the slave master.
Yes, sir. Then, and if I may say, Elter, to prove your point even further, sir. Okay, with the case of Geronimo Pratt, the one that got on the inside from my research was a sellout by the name of Julius Butler. Chicago, 1969, when Chairman Fred Hampton was murdered in his
right.
bed while he
right.
was asleep next to his wife, who was pregnant with Fred Jr., the inside dude was a guy by the name of Flanagan. I think it was either William O'Neill or William Flanagan. And what had
yeah.
happened was is that they had extorted this individual, and it was hanging like a 22-year sentence over his head.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
right.
what he did the night before Chairman Fred went to sleep, and as you know, Elder, in the late 60s, they used to have them pills like Red Devils, Acid, Purple Haze, Barbiturates, Benny's,
yes.
and all that. And what the trader did with Chairman Fred's coffee is that he put Secanol in his coffee, commonly referred to as Red Devils or a downer, that would make you drowsy, that would make you sleep. So then the
right.
Chicago Police Department, along with the Federal Bureau of Investigation, they had raided his home at about 5 o'clock in the morning.
In the morning,
and
right.
And they had murdered Mr. Hampton in his
yeah.
bed.
Right.
December 4th, 1969.
True.
Yes,
right.
sir.
You're
and
right.
then also, too, with the heavyweight champion when they had stripped him of his prime years. They had hit him with draft evasion. And then you had all the ass scratchers and Yasa bosses and Caucasianoids. Oh, well, he should go to Vietnam. He would be like Joe Louis. Well, he wouldn't have to fight. He'll just fight at exhibitions. And the heavyweight champion has stated at that time, no, I will not, because the only thing that what you crackers are going to do is prop me up there to get other black men to come up here and join this unjust war. I'm not going to do it.
Right.
And then what the heavyweight champion said? Ain't no Vietnamese ever called me a nigga. No Vietnamese ever lynched our men and castrated them.
Right.
Ain't no Vietnamese ever raped our women and killed our babies. The white man is my enemy. And when I posted that up there on Facebook recently, Elder, Facebook gave me a 30-day suspension. And then all you clowns over there in Silicon Game Valley, anytime that you suspend Shabaka Sankore, I welcome the suspension because this just simply reinforces the truth of what is being said, and you all don't take it.
Right. You're right.
Yes, sir.
Muhammad Ali will always get top respect from the world by not going into that, rejecting that, that he's gone to armed forces. He stood his ground on that. He gave up millions.
Yes, sir, he
gave
did.
Up millions. For 3 years, he made no money at all. Yeah, millions.
Right.
It's to stand on the principle that I'm not going to be being con to fight somebody who never called me a nigga. He made that plain, yeah.
Yes, sir. Yeah, yes, sir, indeed. And then also, too, Elder, to bring back a memory right there, I remember as a little boy about 7 years old, and this had to be April 28th, 1967, the day he refused induction. I'm trying to watch Mighty Mouse and a Roadrunner on TV. Mama comes home from a hard day's at work. She says, turn on the news because the heavyweight champion just refused induction into the war in Vietnam. And I remember seeing this brother in his FOI attire, and he stated that I will not go to the war in Vietnam. I will not take part in this genocide or this murder of non-black people. They were, like he stated before, they never called me a nigger. They never bombed my church. They never castrated our men folk and what have you. And so then all the major boxing authorities, the New York State Athletic Commission, the World Boxing Association would strip him of his title, and he was undefeated at the time. And this man made a great, great sacrifice. And also, too, I want to give a shout-out to a brother by the name of Ice Cube in these contemporary times who walked away from a $9 million deal in that la-la land called Hollywood, because he's not taking his vaccination. And Brother Chan Krumah and myself and Ramel and Brandy Majors, our listeners know how we feel about this nanotechnology. It is unnatural. And explain to me of how a dude by the name of Bill Gates owns the patent to the vaccine and owns the patent to the virus. I don't see the FBI kicking in his door. You got this other clown by the name of Dr. Fauci. All the vaccines are safe. Go get the vaccine. Go get the vaccine. Now, what I've been doing is in taking my vitamins, my proteins, wash your behind, wash your clothes. You see what I mean? And scamdemic, plandemic, or whatever what it is. But there's definitely something out here killing people. Now, the Yasa bosses is up here talking about, oh, well, we all got to come together. We're all as brothers. No, Yasa bosses, get your heads up out of your asses, okay, and realize that it's only going to be us as a people with our cohesiveness and our coalescence that's going to save ourselves. And to quote Brother Chan Krumah, your other groups, you go out and you hold your own nuts. We can't do it no more. because we as a people, black family, are in a state of emergency. We can't help nobody else. We got to take care of our own backyard first, okay?
Right.
And you Yasa bosses, we feel sorry for you, but at the same token, we have no sympathy for you because you know better. You've been conditioned. Mm. The shackle is still on your mind.
Right.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
You know, being all inclusive is going to make them, once again, exclude us. You got all these people coming from these foreign countries getting these business grants, housing grants. And where do they set up their businesses at?
In the
black
community.
And I remember Minister Farrakhan giving a speech in Los Angeles in the year 1985, and he had brought this here to our attention of how all these other groups is going up here going against us with our own money. Just like the murder of Ms. Latasha Harlins in Los Angeles in 1991, who was shot in the back of the head and did not take anything. She goes to purchase her a bottle of orange juice, puts her money on the counter. Then the Korean woman behind the counter grabs Ms. Latasha Harlins. She unleashes a vicious overhand right, and rightfully so, and turn around to walk out the establishment. She is shot in the back of the head, and her murderer only got 5 years summary probation. Now, the case of Ahmaud Arbery. I want it to be known that this platform, we give our sympathy to Mr. Arbery's family. We definitely feel for his family. We are putting together positive energy to help them get through this major, major loss. Now, what happened with Rittenhouse there in Wisconsin, which he was acquitted, I hate to say this. I still got the same $100 that I offered to you Goony Birds where you could prove a bona fide menstrual cycle. I'm taking the same $100 and I'm betting that these SOBs, McMichaels, and their homeboy, the other hillbilly redneck, are going to walk. I hope that I am wrong. I will be happy to pay this $100 if they get convicted. But the stage is already being set, people. It's already being set. All we got is each other. We are all we got. Dr. Newton was right 55 years ago. We have a right to live, we have a right to exist, and we have a right to survive.
Right.
You're right. Excellent.
Sir, yes, sir. Yes, sir. Official business right there. Frontlinecampaign.org.
Yes, sir. Shabaka's Black Experience Enhanced and Frontline Black News for all the crews. And we definitely
and the revolutionary agenda brought to you by Queen Sister Brandy.
Yes, sir. You know, and we definitely appreciate the elder coming on here with us tonight. Now, elder, I hope that I sounded much better tonight than I did the last time we was on. We did.
Brother, you were profound. Highly intelligent, respectable, with class and principle.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. Yes, sir. Thank you, sir.
Remember when you're lecturing, don't forget you're reckoning to the young. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
That's why speak your mind. But just leave out the profanity because you're reaching the young, the teenagers. You want to get to them, the 14, the 15,
yes,
the
sir.
16. You know, you want to get to them. But say you don't change up your, you know, speak your mind. Leave out the profanity, and you're good to go.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
You know,
yes,
it's Malcolm.
No,
you know, Malcolm. Look at Malcolm. Malcolm was the proudest black man in America. He never used his profanity.
No, sir. He didn't.
You never heard Malcolm use profanity, huh?
No, sir, he did not use profanity
And he did not just for family. And neither Muhammad Ali. But look how effective they were. Look how effective they were. They're legends. They're legends to this day. Another thing, what you're speaking on the Malcolm, that everything you said is on the documentary on Netflix. Malcolm X and Muhammad Ali, what you're speaking of, all that's on Netflix.
Sir.
Yeah.
Okay.
The name of it is Blood Brothers. Blood Brothers.
Yes, sir. I'll definitely make it a point to check it out. And one thing I also want to say, Elder, as a quote, the Queen Mother, Asada Shakur, who just had her 74th solar return in July, I believe, that I cannot go before our ancestors not knowing I did not lay down the truth as I lived through it for those generations after us. And I believe that Dr. Huey Percy Newton has stated off in his memoirs is that the revolution will always will be in the hands of the young. And another thing is of coincidence, too, I don't know if anybody recognizes, but that Dr. Huey P. Newton and Muhammad Ali were born in the same year of 1942, and they were born exactly 30 days apart from January 17th to February 17th.
Okay.
Now you tell me.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Now you tell me.
Right.
Now that's the power of the ancestors right there.
Yeah,
and
as that's
I stated before on this platform, that any of you Biden supporters are welcome to call in. You coons and ass scratchers, excuse the slight profanity right there. You're welcome to call in too. You will get educated. We know Yasser Boston will be tolerated. Your white supremacists, you have called in too and have called me every black so-and-so and every NGR. I've appeared on some of your podcasts where I was treated with the utmost of disrespect, and I knew what I was doing. But one thing, though, is that you clowns did not do is that you did not debate me on an intellectual basis. You showed your true colors. And that is great. You know what
That's
I'm saying?
True.
It's because even
right.
even Mr. Muhammad said, and even Malcolm said, and even Ali had said, I much rather deal with that wolf than that wolf in sheep's clothing.
Right,
exactly. Yes,
right.
sir.
Yes, sir.
Because that way there, I know what I'm dealing with. Now, Donald Duck Trump. He stated how he honestly felt. I ain't mad at him. You know what I'm saying? But a lot of our people, these Democrats, oh, no, got to get rid of Trump, got to get rid of Trump. Okay, you got rid of him. But look what you got up there right now. And look at your vice president, who's going to send you down the tubes as well, too. When she was the Senator of California and when she was the Attorney General of California, she could have prosecuted that clown Merzley that murdered Oscar Grant at the Fruitvale BART station. She could have murdered those five, she could have prosecuted those five race soldiers that stood in a half circle and shot Mr. Mario Woods more than 25 times. The dude didn't weigh no more than 147 pounds. Oh, he had a knife. So with these cops, five of them, built like heavyweight contenders, you mean to tell me y'all couldn't just go up there and take the knife from them, even if you bopped them upside the head with the nightstick? But you deliberately had emptied all of your revolvers into Mr. Woods. Now, let's go back to the case in Los Angeles. Eula Love, who was murdered by the Los Angeles Police Department, where they put 32 bullets in Ms. Love. And how I got this information is that I read a book called Chief by then Los Angeles Police Chief Daryl Gates. In his book, not quoting him to paraphrase him, is that he said that they had interviewed the officers And he said, well, how many times did you discharge your weapon? Both officers said two times, three times. They were equipped with 9mm. We all know the classic line, one up and 15 down. But the guns had been emptied. And this is Bill Gates saying this right here. So they went with the intent of murder, with the intent of overkill. Dr. Newton had stated in his memoirs, Revolutionary Suicide, that when he himself was shot on the corner of 7th Street and Peralta Avenue, is that the cops had came out on their shifts with the intent of murder. They pulled over Mr. Newton and Mr. Gene McKinney, October 1967. And then the officer says to Newton, I need this there, license and registration. Dr. Newton proceeded to give it to him as per California law at that time. Another police car pulls up, and they tell Dr. Newton to get out. So what had happened was, is that Newton was shot. Newton defended himself as best he could after receiving a gunshot wound. He was taken to Highland Hospital, and which the Oakland Police Department had beat on him again as he was handcuffed to a gurney. Then he was tried in California all through 68, 69, and 70, and as we all know, black is beautiful, free Huey, said our warrior free. I did a live feed from those steps in Alameda County, and I believe the address is 1325 Fallon Avenue. It's right by Laney College. It's right by Lake Merritt, and it is directly due west of the penthouse where Dr. Newton used to stay. And he was tried three times, and then they finally went on and dismissed the charges against Dr. Newton. And then, of course, Dr. Newton was freed. And at this time, as we all know, that our brother Bobby Seale was on trial in Chicago with the Chicago 7 trial that resulted from a situation of a riot that happened at the Democratic National Convention in 1968 in Grant Park. So it is very, very essential that our young people know this history. It's very, very essential for our young people to get up out of these public indoctrination centers, because the only thing that they're going to learn in a public indoctrination center is drugs, self-hatred, gangbanging, and all the negative aspects of it. And the sad part about it is, when I listen to this rap music, my niggas, my niggas, my niggas, my niggas, Negroes, what are you saying with this Sambo, Rambo, mumble mouth garbage? And as Queen Mother had stated, that the art of rhythm and poetry could be extremely uplifting for the youth and our community. Hey, rappers, hey, Snoop Dogg. Hey, all you cats out there making your money in Hollywood, man, please change your damn lyrics, man. It's a great art form.
Right.
Teach something. Teach something instead. Help the people. Help the youth. Put something in their brain that's worthwhile.
Yes, sir.
Stop killing them. Because, you know, words are like bullets. They kill people. You know what I mean?
Yes, sir. And there's power in words, General Rommel, as you're saying. You're absolutely correct. And I'm sure the elders agree with us. And as Miss Cicely Tyson had stated in her autobiography, just as I am. And excuse my language, is because I'm paraphrasing Miss Tyson out of her autobiography when she was auditioning for the part of Rebecca in the motion picture of Sound in 1972, as where a white producer had the audacity to say to her, is that you niggas just want sex, drugs, and violence, and we are going to give you a belly full. So this is why they had garbage like Superfly, coffee, Cotton comes to Harlem
Archie,
and come back Charleston blue. Yes,
Archie
being
Brown.
Up a fool, being a clown, degrading yourself. Yeah, exactly. Thank you. Particularly the Mac. That there was filmed in Oakland, California, where they were referring to our queens as the B word and things of this nature right here. You see? So reinstituting that plantation system of calling our women bed wenches. Black Friday. I think it was the day after Thanksgiving, huh? Well, you can go down here to Walmart and get all these big deals and stuff like that. Black Friday is where the white man would take his sons, 12, 13, 14 years old, and they would purchase black women off the auction block. Well, Sonny, those are breeders right there to breed you some slaves in the same manner that you would do dogs, racehorses, chattel. And this is why all you other groups go hold your own nut, you know, to quote Brother Chet. We can't do it no more for you because we are tired. And John Lewis, good trouble. Crossing the Edmund Pettus Bridge in 1965, getting bashed upside the head. Oh, this feels so good and all that. And then you other groups, you weren't there when those police dogs were sicked on us. You weren't there when the fire hoses was put on us. But when we sit up there and degrade ourselves with this genre of self-degradation, you even going out there using this term nigger yourself and thinking it is appropriate. But you can rest assured, I'm a firm believer that when an OTB uses that term, you follow the left hook by the right hand. Put him on his
damn.
Back.
Yep.
Because
no passes.
He's not going to reserve, because you're not going to hear the white boy Eminem or Vanilla Ice up there refer to themselves as cave beasts.
Nope.
You're
hell
not
nah.
going to hear the Latinos refer to themselves as spicks.
Nope.
Mm-mm.
So why in the name of the ancestors, why we would sit up there and go for some garbage like that? And this is why we had tonight's episode, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes, sir.
And
yes, sir. Officialfrontlinecampaign.org.
Yes, sir. And then what I'm going to do, Brother Che and General Mel, I'm going to call it a night, man. I'm going to let you gentlemen go on there and sign us out, you know, at any time you get ready. Because I believe, let me see here, we got 26 minutes. And I'm going to meet
you. Know what,
General
Shabaka, can you say your closing statements and we just close out? I think we had enough for the evening, if we could.
Oh, yes, sir.
You
my closing statement is this. It's to unite all these black platforms for us to come together as a closed fist is because, as Brother Malcolm had stated in one of his lectures, you got these five digits. When they're separated, you slap somebody, you will sting them. But if you want to put them in a place, then bring these digits together. I'm Shabaka St. Croix,
right.
And I approve of this message. Okay, you gentlemen, go on and close on out. And thank you so very, very much, Elder, for participating tonight. Thank you, Brother Che and Lady Che and Krumah, for the great input that you always put in. And thank you, General Rommel, Frontline Campaign.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Most High Priest Melchizedek, can you please give us your final comments, please, sir?
Love each other, respect each other, and stay together.
Yes, sir.
You heard that?
Yes.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Thank you, God. We appreciate you. Salute. Happy belated again.
Okay.
Yes.
And for whatever, backward never. Don't stop until you're on top. When you get on top, keep it moving. Always do your best, and your universal force and power will do the rest.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And this is Rommel Understanding, the Angel of Peace from the East, understanding, understood in the neighborhood near you, bringing a little hope without the dope, official frontline campaign. Salute to the fallen soldiers. I'm on military time. I got my military mind, and I'm on my military grind all the time. You already know what it is and what it's done. So I'll turn it over to General Paris and Queen Sister Brandy.
Yes, Queen Sister Brandy is asleep, so I'll close this out. Thank you to Brother Makita Dick for calling in. Thank you to the anchor man, Ramel. And thank you to the host, Shabaka, for having a lively, in-depth discussion about God versus the devil. She says Black Power Queen. Queen Sister Brandy says Black Power. Make sure you check us out on Frontline Campaign. .org. Make sure you check out Frontline Black News tomorrow at 10 p.m. Mountain Standard Time on Facebook and YouTube. And yeah, this has been a great show. We got to do for self, Black family. We have to instill the knowledge in our children and get them out these public indoctrination centers, period. Did you have something to add, Ramel?
Come again?
It sounded like
no, I have nothing else to add. Let's shut it down in the hometown, digital on the ground. That's what it did, and that's what it is. Salute, frontlinecampaign.org.
Salute to all the frontline soldiers. Peace, love,
yes, sir.
Light, and black empowerment.
Yes, yes, sir. And vote Jesse Parrish for mayor. Peace.
Peace.
Peace.